Welcome back to the second hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 410, 48 degrees on this Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. And like every Tuesday, we bring in our friend Tommy Marquez, Navy veteran. He was a senior staffer in Congress for many years. Now he brings us up to date on those earned benefits you have from your military service. Tommy, how are you?
Good, Rob. How are you?
Good. There's a lot of background noise. Can you?
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. All good.
Hey, sorry about that.
No problem.
Hey, I wanted to go over a couple of things and let everybody know, and I apologize. I had to go outside to get a signal today. I'm not sure what's going on. But first and foremost, I always try to give a benefit for veterans, and it's important with this benefit. Can I explain this? And then I want to talk a little bit about the VA and some of the things that are happening in Congress and the Senate specifically. But real quick, if you're a veteran and you're in the VA healthcare system, now the key to this is that you have to already be enrolled in the VA healthcare system. And you go to an emergency room, and I just had this happen to me. If you let them know at the emergency room with the billing department, they will contact the VA. And in many cases, the VA will cover your emergency care, even if it's not at a VA facility. Now, you could go online to va.gov/health benefits to get more information on this. And I've done, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 videos. And I tell the story of a couple of different times when I had veterans who actually, they had quite a large bill. It was over $140,000. And I was able to help them clear it up when I was working in Congress. Somebody had to be life-flighted. Due to a skiing accident out in Mammoth. But I've done videos on that explaining it in more detail, and you can always go on my social media and check those out. But everything is available at va.gov/health benefits. If you need the number, I'll go ahead and give it to you also. It's 1-877-222-VETS-8387. And there's lots of resources on the VA's website. I do think it's going to get better. The website's not as up-to-date as any other kind of like Kaiser Permanente or Blue Cross Blue Shield website with explaining this information. But emergency room care is covered for bona fide emergencies for veterans who are enrolled in VA healthcare. Now, the thing I want to talk to you about, Rob, did you see that the senator from Arizona, brand new senator, freshman, Senator Ruben Gallego, who is a Marine Corps veteran, he served 4 years in the Marine Corps, was an officer. So I still count that service. He served in Iraq honorably. And he is saying that he's going to block all the nominees that are coming for the VA through the Senate confirmation process. He's going to totally block them. And my concern about this is really simple. Right now we only have two people of the 13 slots available appointed for VA. Now, he's upset that veterans, VA employees are being let go, missing the whole fact that the VA has ramped up to numbers that it's never had before, and it's more inefficient now than it's ever been. Okay, also, that there's no longer two major wars going on, and we don't have the enrollment that we used to have with VA necessary. But regardless of that, if he's upset with the VA and the process that's going on with the president in nominating people, it's not the appropriate, in my mind, it's not the appropriate vehicle or tool to use by blocking those nominees to help give veterans care. If your goal is to give veterans better health care, wouldn't you want people in those positions? Wouldn't you want those spots filled so that they could be going out there and doing it? Because what happens is we have to have somebody else in the VA take over those positions. Those people are now in an acting role. They don't have the same power somebody who's appointed, and now they're being taken away from their job. So if you're concerned that, you know, there's a shortage of employees, that somehow that's going to negatively affect VA care, then why would you short it more employees? It just doesn't make sense. And I respect that he has the ability to do this part of the process, and he's not going to put a stop to it. The appointees are going to go through. He's just going to slowly make the process slower, which just doesn't make sense to me. But also, when we're talking about, you know, the employees at the VA, and I know we've heard this whole conversation, we've had it in the past, Rob, about, you know, that some of those people are veterans and they're firing 80,000 people. You know, I want people to understand this. We need to return the VA back to the veterans. It's not there for employees. It's not a jobs program for veterans. It's there for the veterans who need the care. So if we focus more on that and that process, getting people there hired who care about the veterans and less on their employment opportunities and what's in it for them and that they can't be fired, I think we'll have a much better VA.
No doubt. No doubt. And it's unfortunate, you know, for this senator, and again, within his rules to do it, but does it defeat the purpose that he's bringing up? And I think that's more to the point what you're saying here. So you mean to tell me I'm pissed off because you're laying off all these thousands of workers in this bureaucratic system. I'm going to prevent you the leadership that should make, you know, fundamental changes to make this better for our veterans.
It just doesn't make sense, Rob. And it seems like they're throwing their sucker in the dirt. And this guy is a Marine Corps veteran, and he's going to wrap himself around the flag. And that's fine. I actually seen some of his stuff, and I think he's, you know, actually going to do a pretty good job. But he's a freshman, and this is the measure that they want to take. They're not stopping these confirmations. They're just slowing it down. And I just don't see that that's the remedy to this process. The VA is broken. No one out there argues that. So letting people who were not the best employees go, you know, I think that's a good start.
No doubt. And stop the misinformation out there about it. You know, we've talked about it here in our area with our governor, you know, talking about misleading people to think that there's critical nurses on the front lines being let go by the VA when that's just simply not the case. This fear-mongering, and we see it with, it's always Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and our veterans. But, you know, when there's a stalemate in Congress, and you know this better than I do because you've worked there during these, you know, when there's a threat of a government shutdown, when there's a threat of not signing the continuing resolution, it's always checks aren't going to go out to disabled veterans. No, it's not we're going to furlough 3,000 clerical workers at the VA. We're not going to send checks to our disabled veterans is the one they go with.
Yeah, they always lead with that. It's total, again, it's a total lie. And also on those things, you know, if he feels so strongly about it, why doesn't he go to a VA facility and talk to some of the employees and, more importantly, the customers that are there and ask them if they think this is the best mechanism? Because I don't know any one at this point who's, you know, with a VA that's a veteran, that's Republican or Democrat. And I have a lot of Democrat friends who's saying, like, hey, the best thing to do is not let anybody get confirmed. I have not heard that yet. Not me.
Yeah, and we both know, and I think my listeners know this by listening to me, if there were floor nurses out there that were giving care to our veterans that were laid off, there is no doubt that MSNBC, the Associated Press, CNN, or Reuters would have a roundtable discussion with 8 or 9 of these laid-off nurses telling us their stories on how they're not able to care for veterans because they were laid off. The mere fact they're not doing that just shows that it didn't happen, that it's just untrue.
So, yeah. But they try, and they mislead, and, you know, they don't look at any of the rules. And, hey, by the way, if nurses were being laid off and veterans weren't getting the care that they have, I would be, regardless of party, I would be right there with them saying, hey, no, this isn't right.
Yep. No doubt. And, you know, for someone who has a nurse in the family who is in the process of relocating right now, there are just normal jobs in the VA. They're still hiring nurses. They're still collecting people. There's no mass layoffs where they're looking to freeze these nurses coming there. They're hiring just like everybody else. And it was one of the options. It just wasn't in her field because she's a pediatric psychiatric nurse, which really doesn't fall into the VA kind of cumulus of care that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for your family service. They do so much, Rob. You guys are a great American family.
I appreciate that. I saw that SecDef was at the Naval Academy today. That was good to see. He actually flew from the Pentagon to the Naval Academy and was there for the day. The downside of that is they locked down the Naval Academy today, so there was no visitors. So if you were down there, you couldn't get on or off.
That's always the problem, right? You don't want them there almost questions in, you can't get anything done.
Tommy, if my listeners want to follow you and your work, because you do great stuff day in and day out, you only join us once a week, where can they follow you?
You can always follow me on social media at Tommy Marquez Consulting, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. I'm on every platform.
All right, Tommy, I appreciate it as always. You be well, my friend. We'll speak to you next week.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
Thank you. It's 421 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. You can call or text 570-883-0098. Let me go to the phone now. We have Rich from Laughlin. Rich, how are you?
Good. Thank you for taking the call, Rob. Rob, the thing I don't understand is, well, for instance, we don't make actual cars here anymore. There's a Mustang. Chrysler has nothing. And the Chevy Malibu's on its way out. So there's the Mustang and the Corvette. That's it. And so the people want a car, they have to turn to the Pacific Rim. So my feeling is, if there is no competition available, why are you tariffing the Pacific Rim then, if we don't have an equivalent car or equivalent product? And something like that is not going to be easily matched because cars aren't as popular as they were, and it's almost like a niche type of deal. So that has a question in my mind. And the other thing I wanted to say is the federal government put us out of the electronics business to a certain extent. I worked for a company in Rhode Island called Basic and Flow. They made measurement equipment for water flow, for dams and drinking water and everything. They eventually wanted to go to electronics. They did. They put up a division, spent several million. And then somebody complained. So the OSHA came in. You got to put the filter in. Okay, they did. Spent a few million. Then DPA came in. There was further complaints. Oh, you got to put, similar to what a HEPA filter is, but a real massive box, okay? And then there was still complaints about handling the solder and stuff. So the company went and asked the competitors, now, what do you do to make your circuit boards? They said, we just send it to China anymore because we can't meet the law. And stuff like that is why they make TVs there. It's actually harder to make a TV than it was years ago because you're talking really small devices, surface mount components. If you have problems, you got to use magnifiers to look at them. And I don't see that coming back for 25%. You'll see the Chinese say, look, just put 12% tariff on it and we'll eat the rest. These are things that are going to take $100 million to start up. And I don't know if you're ever going to see them, you know, start up a television manufacturing business. The federal government itself helped put some of it out of business, is what I'm saying, you know?
Well, NAFTA back in the day put a ton of people out of business, and it was that started this. This is why there's this drastic reverse back. Listen, a lot of them are already investing here. You know, the chips plants are coming back here. Once the chips plants are here, I think TVs and that could follow more easily. Vehicle manufacturers, you're right. I mean, Ford is the most American-made car here out of our cars, and it's only 60% made in the United States. The Ford F-150, I believe, was 70%, but all their other cars are mixed. Where you have Chevy, GMC, Dodge, and Jeep, they're even less than that. Tesla's the most American-made car in America right now. Nissan was up there, too, in the top five. So does this force plants? Well, you look at Hyundai. Hyundai's investing billions of dollars to create their own steel plant here. They are investing in American jobs to have their cars made here. So will it take time? Yes. And again, is this a negotiating factor to level the playing fields? If we want to send our cars to these countries, they tax the hell out of us. They tariff the hell out of us. But we're supposed to just suck it up the other way because it's convenient for us. Well, no, we're going to have to take it on the chin for a little bit and it'll even out. It'll level the playing field. It'll bring manufacturing back here. And listen, if people don't want to pay a little more for American-made products, I don't know what to tell you. Our grandparents, our parents used to be proud of that. That used to be the motto, made in America. A lot of things aren't now. People are going to vintage stores to buy jeans that were made in America back in the day. Now, you know, they come accustomed to those cheap jeans that they can get online or on Amazon or one of these thrift shops. So, you know, it's going to take a change of our habits as well. But I do see it happening because it's going to have to happen. The fact that 90% of our medications are made overseas, that just can't go on. It can't go on. Now, if we have definitely to force that fact to bring it back here, then I'm sorry, we'll have to force that fact.
You're right about the medicine. I was surprised no congressman really jumped on it since we had the virus and everything else. But perhaps a little slower, maybe a 90-day to 120-day rule to give people a chance to move back. I think it was a little quick, but I'm behind the president. I appreciate all he's doing, but maybe a little slower on that to give them a chance to move the football fields out of Mexico and bring them up here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at historically on tariffs across the world, it will level out. It will level out. Right now, we're just getting the harsh rhetoric for politics and everything else. Those waves will settle.
Well, listen, Rob, thanks for all the research you've done with the taxes. My son is in Moosic. Incidentally, Moosic has a population of 6,000 people. Let's say there's 4,000 adults. There are 6 Republicans there, just for to point that out. I've been wanting you to tell you that for a while. Thank you for all your research and the guidance you've given, okay?
All right, Rich, thank you. And we'll give a shout-out to the 6 Republicans in Moosic.
Thank you, Rob.
No problem. It's 4:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day, 4 of our heroes made the ultimate sacrifice in Pennsylvania. We're going to start off with Private George Yasher, Pennsylvania Motor Police in Pennsylvania, 1940 on this day. Succumbed to injuries sustained the previous day when he was struck by a vehicle while directing traffic in Kingston, Pennsylvania. He and another officer have been assigned to assist with flood relief. The driver was convicted of involuntary manslaughter. Patrolman Andrew W. Miller, Pennsylvania State Highway Patrol in 1928, was killed when his motorcycle skidded on a streetcar tracks in the city of Pottstown. He was thrown from the motorcycle to the street where he died. Police Officer Casper Mayer, Pittsburgh Bureau of Police in 1904. Police Officer Casper Mayer was electrocuted while attempting to remove fallen wires. On the first call of his afternoon shift, Officer Mayer found wires down at South 22nd Street and Sydney Streets. Believing the wires were a telephone line, he attempted to wrap it around a nearby pole when he was electrocuted by 3,500 volts of electricity. Police Officer William Stecker, Athens Borough Police Department in 1898, succumbed to a gunshot wound sustained on February 22, 1898, when he interrupted a burglary at the U.S. Post Office at the intersection of Main Street and Elmira Street. He caught several men attempting to break into the front door of the post office on Main Street at approximately 3 a.m., one of the men opened fire on him, striking him in the head. Despite his wound, he and several citizens chased the subjects a short distance before losing sight of them. He was taken to a local doctor's office, where he was transported to Robert Packer Hospital in Sayre. He succumbed to the wound on April 1st on this day in 1898, while still at the hospital. And those are our 4 from here in Pennsylvania. Looking at some text messages coming in, people aren't happy with the tariffs. I get it. No one should be happy with the tariffs, but listen, let the process work. They haven't even taken effect yet. And based on total speculation, yes, there's going to be some waves. Get it. But this has been going on for a few weeks already. They gave time to make concessions, and some people didn't. The mere fact that other nations charge us an exorbitant amount of tariffs and yet we don't, why would you not want the playing field? Because you just want to deal with the status quo. Things are fine for you. I just don't see it. Let's try something different, because what we have been trying doesn't work, because we have pushing $37 trillion in debt. Yes, we're going to have to put America first. We're going to have to put our factories first. We're going to have to put our workers first. But you have to lay the blueprint to do that. And this is that blueprint. Let's see what's said tomorrow. You know, there's been a lot of talk about tariffs, and then it was put off. And then a lot of talks on tariffs, and it was put off. Up until right now, everything's speculation, but people are losing their mind. If cars go up $10,000 each for the next 4 months, does that truly affect you? If you really needed a car, could you not wait 6 months? if you truly need a car, go out and buy one now. I guarantee you it's a little more expensive because the dealers are going to want to make money, right? They don't have to make that deal because people, read the articles, are coming in and buying the cars more than they normally do. So there's a demand that they have. And they have a limited supply, and they're going to demand their top dollar. They're not going to give you the best deals that they could have given you, let's say, 3 weeks ago. But really, in the next 4 or 5 months, if they raise the price of car $20,000, does it really matter to you? And again, if you need one that bad, if you right now are saying, my car is going to die and I'm going to be carless in 3 months, well, my advice would be go out and buy one now. If it's not that dire and you can wait, then I would say, well, wait till this settles down. That's the way this works. There's very few people listening to me right now that are going to need a car in the next 4 or 5 months. It's interesting because we dealt with 4 years of massive inflation. And that's starting to creep down on some levels. It's still high, but it's creeping down. Gas is 30 cents cheaper a gallon. Eggs are half the price they were 8 weeks ago. The things are starting to come down. Grocery prices are settling a little bit. But we know once prices go up, it's hard for them to ever go back because everyone lives within that means. It's the same thing of the government getting all that extra COVID money, that ARPA funds. And now they have to learn to live within their means again. And they're going to cry, well, we don't have that money. Well, you did before. And then you got high on the horse with our tax dollars, and now you're going to have to learn to live with that again. And it's going to be pain involved in that. You have entities like our counties and our cities bought buildings, started new departments, hired massive staff, bought parks and redid things that need more maintenance. And now they're going to have to learn to maintain those with their normal budget. And they're going to say, well, that's just not possible. Well, then you should have had the forethought to plan that. But they don't. So you wait. Wait it out. See where it goes. So we'll see. It's 4:42 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? On this day, April 1st, what do we have? Notable date in U.S. history marked by significant events across various fields. 1789, the first U.S. House of Representatives convenes. On this day, the inaugural U.S. House of Representatives achieved its first quorum in New York City and elected Frederick Muhlenberg of Pennsylvania as its first speaker. 1865, Battle of Five Forks. During the American Civil War, Confederate troops under General George Pickett were defeated at Five Forks, Virginia. The loss sealed the fate of General Robert E. Lee's armies at Petersburg and Richmond, hastening the war's end. 1945, the invasion of Okinawa. American forces began the invasion of Okinawa during World War II, a battle that resulted in over 240,000 fatalities. Could you imagine that? The Battle of Okinawa. 250,000 fatalities. 1970, a ban on cigarette advertising. President Richard Nixon signed legislation banning cigarette advertisements on television and radio, a significant move in public health policy. Must have been after they actually allowed it in magazines and billboards, because I remember them and that's pretty early. 1976. Apple Incorporated was founded. Apple Computer was founded by Steve Jobs, Steven Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne in Cupertino, California. The company has since become the leading innovator in technology. Yeah, that they have. 1976. That's crazy. 1984, the death of Marvin Gaye. Renowned singer Marvin Gaye was tragically shot and killed by his father, adding somber note to this date. We also have April Fool's Day. Yes, that is today. April 1st is widely recognized as April Fool's Day, a tradition involving pranks and hoaxes. The origins is unclear, but theories suggest links to calendar changes in the 16th century France or the medieval Feast of Fools. These are some of the highlights and diverse historical significance on April 1st in the United States. It's you would not believe the amount of corporate emails and bulletins and stuff we get on April Fool's Day. What you can't do, what you can do, what you can't do. Don't do this. Don't use this tone. Don't use this service. Don't alarm the public. Don't. It's amazing. You know, there were a couple ideas. They take the fun out of everything. They truly take the fun out of everything. Listen, if I was to truly panic Northeast Pennsylvania, that would be a good hoax on you guys here for April Fool's Day. But I mean, I cannot tell you the amount of information we got on what we shouldn't do for April, what you can't do for April Fool's Day, what don't do on April Fool's Day. Listen, the lawyers are heavily involved, and that's an April Fool's joke in itself. The amount of nonsense that we get for just a day like April Fool's. If anyone has a good April Fool's out there, I saw Dixon City Police Department previewed their new helicopter. I saw that another place in Pennsylvania showed a jetliner on the highway. So, I mean, you could do those things, but I can barely do anything on the radio because we can't panic the public. Can't cause mass hysteria. So we crazy glued Jake's hands to the desk today, so he can't do anything crazy in there. He only has his two fingers to push the buttons and slides and stuff that he does because we don't want anything out of control happening. He's waiting. You get the same corporate emails I get, buddy, so you know the rules.
We
can't – listen, aliens aren't coming. I can't do that. That's already been done and said. We can't see, we could probably come up with some cool stuff if they would allow us to. But again, the lawyers take the fun out of everything. But it's interesting. You know, I get more emails on what I can and can't do for April Fool's Day than pretty much anything else. That and the training I had to do on unconscious bias was interesting. When I'm sleeping, unconscious, I don't know. Interesting here. It's 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Let's go to the phone. We have our friend Joe from Edwardsville. Joe, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing outstanding, Rob. So happy birthday to your grandson. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
You deserve it. Okay, so a little bit of a history lesson since, you know, you moved here. And you're here, you know, I consider you a resident now, but, you know, you missed this. And it was in your building, not in your station, but in your building. And I think they were even owned by a different company at that point. But the morning crew from another station up there, they pulled a prank that got them in all kinds of trouble. They advertised for people to show up at PNC Field up there at the baseball stadium to, you know, apply to be extras. They said they were, you know, they're making a new Field of Dreams movie. And, oh, the people, they lined up. And as it turned out, there were a bunch of special needs kids who showed up there and all kinds of stuff like this. And then once everybody was gathered and the time came, they came out with bullhorns and were telling everybody, April Fools, oh, dear Lord, people with their underwear on fire all over the valley. And that, the uproar about that went on for months. So I can understand that. And I'm sure there's still some holdovers there from when this happened. That I'm sure they're, you know, once bitten, twice shy. You know what I'm saying?
Jake, you remember
they
that?
I understand it.
No, Jake doesn't recall.
Jake's too young.
How long ago? How long ago was that?
God, I can't remember. I moved here in 89, so that had to be, in the 90s maybe? Something of that nature. I'll do a little research on it, and I'll shoot you a message to let you know.
Yeah. It won't be too hard to find out. I mean, we got people in the building that have been here since the inception of the building, so.
Oh, yeah, there's people there that work with Marconi, I'm sure. So, yeah, that's not going to be an issue. But, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure one of the people who was involved in this still works there. He might not like to hear about this anymore. His partner has moved on. He has a new partner now. So, I'll let it go with that.
See, but that's good. Clear. I mean, I get getting angry about it, but that's funny.
It was.
But then again, I found them telling people aliens were landing in the panic was funny too. But they didn't seem to think it was funny at the time.
I know. I'm the same way. I'm like, sometimes things. I mean, get over it. I've been pranked plenty of times in my past, and how seriously can you take yourself? For the love of God!
Listen, we had a guy I worked with in the squad in the police department, and he went on vacation and he left his car at the precinct parking lot because we were closer to the airport, and he took like a cab from the precinct to the airport. While he was gone for 2 weeks, we all chipped in and paid to have his car painted a different color.
Oh, cool.
So a flatbed came, picked it up, brought it. It was professionally painted. It just was a total opposite color of what his car was. And he came back and he thought his car was stolen. It was like, no, your car's outside. And he's hitting the alarm button and it's beeping and the lights are going off. And he's looking at the car directly with the lights flashing. And he's like, that's not my car, though.
Well, I get that. Yeah. When I was in high school, a friend of mine, he had a Pinto wagon. And sometimes if we were out, horsing around or this or that, and he was six or eight of us, we'd get together, we would pick it up and move it. One time we picked it up and moved it in between two trees so he couldn't open any of the doors. And one time we actually set it on a porch. So, yeah, I get that. But, here again, I was 16, 17 when that happened. And, yeah, it sounded like a good idea to me. There may have been a beverage involved. Who knows? But, how it is. Once you get lawyers involved, They don't go, the public outcries.
I hear you.
It turn into a thing.
I hear you. My friend.
You have a good time down at Virginia Beach this weekend, and God bless you. Give my best to the family.
Will do, my friend. Will do. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK.